Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. I'm your host, Jeffrey Wright. As always, you can listen to us on the radio, dial 92.9 FM, 680 AM, but now we are streaming on Twitch, on YouTube, on the Everything app. You can also stream us live audio-wise on the Odyssey app, free to download, free to listen. You can also stream us on the iHeartRadio app as well as the TuneIn radio app. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on the Everything app at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good afternoon, Jeffrey.
Sitting in with us, our company as he is each and every Wednesday. He's my basketball coach. He's your basketball coach. He's everyone's basketball coach. He's also the head coach and team director of Team Thad of the Nike EYBL circuit. Follow him on socials at Dream Big Herd. Coach Herd, good day.
Great day, hump day.
You brought more cold weather with you. Ever since you got back to Chicago, it's been following you.
It's been crazy. It has.
As you can tell, I sound great. Doing awesome in this. This is just tremendous, so we will make it through. It is Wednesday, so we'll get into some buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. A couple of things I want to pick Coach's brain on. Then Jason Munn's going to join us during the next segment. Tigers taking on New Orleans tonight. I got to figure this out. How did New Orleans lose to my alma mater? Statement loss last night from my alma mater. We had the battle of the Church of Christ kids, the Cox, if you will. COCs, Abilene Christian down at the half, big time, massive second half comeback to take down the Waves, and just a battle of who can sing a cappella the best. So I need to figure out how New Orleans lost to them, because they took like State to overtime.
Yeah,
they got some good wins.
Three. They beat TCU.
Yeah.
At TCU, Big 12 school with Jamie Dixon, Hall of Fame, and it's another big win. So who beat them? Pepperdine?
Pepperdine beat them 90-79. This will be their 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8th straight home game to begin the year. They must just be doing an absolute tour around the country collecting checks.
Yeah, you know Master P got them going.
Yep.
So he started out there with Bibby, him and Shaq said, well, I don't think that was more of a scrimmage. And so they went to Pepperdine.
Went to Pepperdine and Fresno, so they did a California swing.
A lot of them, New Orleans don't usually do that, but a lot of smaller schools do that, like HBC. When I was out there in L.A.,
a lot of SWAC schools do
that. They'll go
yep.
play USC, yep. UCLA, and they just make their runs, because I was in L.A. and bumped into them a few times. But I don't know. That's probably why the spread, you're more of a betting man, why Memphis is so big on the spread, because at first I'm like, New Orleans been playing really good ball. I guess I missed out on the Pepperdine loss that throwing it off, because they've been playing good ball.
They appear to be very inconsistent. So, for instance, to your point, open the season with a win against TCU. TCU right now is still a top 50 team in KenPom. They then lose 93-58 at LSU.
Wow.
Beat Tulane 85-63. Lose to Pepperdine 285 in KenPom for everyone out there. Hashtag fade the waves. Lose to Fresno 85-76. lost in Starkville in overtime 81-78, and then lost to Texas Tech on the road 82-50. So it's like they have these bomb losses that send their power ratings way down, and in the end, point spreads are always just going to be based on power ratings. But this is like the scariest type of fringe, you know, KenPom 200 team, because they do have a high ceiling, but they also have a low floor. It's like you just hope you don't catch them on the night where they're feeling it.
No, this is why the more you and John explain, betting do make sense, because they were back and forth like a seesaw, Jeffrey. But from what I've just heard, them last four games, they are who they are now. And those last four games, they got beat by a good amount of points. So I see why now Memphis, which is to me playing good ball right now, are looking forward to play good ball. I see why they are the favorite, because I think they was like 16 points. I thought that was too high because I didn't know a lot of the massive losses you just said.
I didn't realize this, that Stacy Hollowell is their head coach now.
In New Orleans, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I knew that.
And Master P has like three roles. He is the president, the assistant coach. They say he's there every day. I talked to, after I got off with Jason and John, I talked to one of their assistants, like, P is at the practice every day. He's the fundraiser.
Where did he play?
Master P?
Yeah.
Did he play college?
I think he played college. NBA. And then I want to say he got hurt.
He's from New Orleans. He's from
Cali. Yeah, so he signed with Houston and then transferred to Merritt College. That's a JUCO in Oakland.
That's how he got out in Oakland, because people say he started his career out there, and that is making sense.
I thought he was a New Orleans guy, like, growing up.
He is. Yeah. He went to high school everywhere in New Orleans. Yeah, he's from Cali.
And so then he went to, and so he gets to California, I guess, when he goes to Merritt after Houston.
Also, Master P signed with the University of Houston out of high school.
Correct. And then his son played at SC, right?
His son is at Houston right now.
But didn't Romeo? Romeo was SC, right?
Kind of with DeMar DeRozan. You know,
because Romeo, I think, is my age.
Yeah, they him and DeMar DeRozan.
I'm pretty sure he was at SC's when I got to Pepperdine.
Okay, that
it was
make
like,
sense.
I don't know if it was DeMar, it was Juice, OJ Mayo.
No, him and DeMar play AAU together. It was DeMar.
Okay, but I'm just saying is Juice was on the team. Juice was on the USC team, I think, when Romeo was there.
Him and DeMar played together?
Yeah.
OJ and DeMar.
Correct. And that team, I think, only made a first round.
Oh, okay.
Shout out, who was my boy? Who's the Iowa State? I think he was, wasn't he at Iowa State? Who was the coach of that team? Tim Floyd.
Tim Floyd.
There it is. Okay. God, you think long enough, you can eventually get there. All right, so we'll get into some basketball topics. Munz is going to join us. We'll talk Tigers then. Get into the list. We'll get into some college coaching carousel. We've had a lot more action, I think, today. And then, hoo boy, Penn State. Running out of options. Penn State's really close to having to do what I'm sure they don't want to do, or at least the administration doesn't want to do, which is you might just have to promote your old interim.
They was cheering his name. Then they went like three games.
He got him to 6-6. There's also the argument that this was a preseason national title favorite.
But the two games he was not the favorite though. Like, it was a good team they beat.
He had a statement loss against Indiana.
Yes, where it was only 3 points.
Correct. Indiana to score on that miraculous catch in the end zone. They beat, they beat Rutgers to get bowl eligible. Nebraska.
Nebraska coach, didn't he get an extension?
He's the original guy that parlayed Penn State rumors into.
Yeah.
He parlayed Penn State rumors into an extension.
Because he graduated or something, right?
He was a walk-on and played for Joe Pa.
Okay. But he hasn't been that great in Nebraska, right?
He's been perfectly fine, but he continues to not, like, he's like 0-374 against top 25 teams.
Yeah.
I'm exaggerating a little bit, but, like, seriously, it's like 0-30.
Yeah. Well, Franklin got kicked out for that. I mean, like,
well, at least, like, Franklin's tough one was top 10.
Top 10.
With Rule, it's top 25. Like, Franklin could beat, if you're like number 17 Iowa,
oh,
he was all, come get that pain, baby. Just load on up.
He threw it on business if he was 21st in the country.
Yeah. Anything in that sweet spot of 15 to 25. Oh, yeah. Come get a hurting.
Let's do it.
Yes. He very much was able to do that. So we'll get into coaching carousel, maybe get into some NFL. We'll tell your story. God, there have been so many good candidates. I even had like Mark calling me during lunch trying to submit tell your story suggestions. Like just so many good candidates out there today. Like I need everybody to start spreading them out. And I guess we're doing the honest thing again. I never know. Shams seems like the least reliable narrator ever, though, on Giannis. It almost feels like anytime he hears one kernel that supports what he wants to hear, it's like he wants to do 35 minutes on NBA Today about Giannis. So we'll maybe get into that as well. But let's fire it up. Buy, sell, short, or gutter at it. Our boy Sane writes in, he's correct. OJ played with Taj Gibson at SC, DeRozan's later, like a year later. Yeah, so that would so Romeo, maybe Romeo's my sophomore year. So shout out Anthony Sane for listening and sending in that note. All right, buy, sell, short, or gutter at it. The SEC can go back to being a football conference. The SEC went 3-6 last night in ACC versus SEC. We have Tennessee losing at Syracuse. We had Carolina going in and winning at Kentucky. Duke wins not at the buzzer, but they get the final stop at the buzzer against Florida. They were at home on that one. But overall, let's just say this. I'm going to go out. Here's my hottest take of the year. I do not think the SEC is getting 16 bids this year.
Wow.
I hope everyone is sitting down for that.
I'm going to.
Very hot take there.
Yeah, that was pretty. I'm going to sail.
All right.
And I'm going to sail because I still think they're. First of all, it's always going to still be a football conference. So the way the question is asked is a little.
Well, remember last year they had to act because they didn't win in football and they didn't even get like a finalist, but they did win in basketball. They had to be like, oh, we're now a basketball league.
Really? See, I don't get into that stupid stuff.
Yeah.
But I do think.
I always find it funny.
Yeah, I think last year it's both conferences now because basketball might have had the best conference in the history of college basketball last year, but I really not think it'll remain both is because when you get back to the money.
Yep.
I know the ACC might have had a good night, and the ACC had to come back swinging. Last year was like 16-1 or something, like Duke the only team. They beat Auburn by 3, like they killed them. So I feel like the ACC should have punched back, but I think the SEC they would be the best basketball conference for a while too.
So the SEC has, if you look at it metrically, they're still right now, like, it's honestly, it mirrors the football, where the league depth, nobody sucks. Like, I think South Carolina is the worst team in KenPom. They're like 91. So they're still a top 100 team. And so, now granted, KenPom right now is just ping-ponging everywhere. Like, it's, all the metrics are all over the place because of the amount of data, which makes sense. But I don't think they have any teams that suck. Like, let's use South Carolina as an example. Last year, I think South Carolina started the year like 12-1, and then they got into league play, and then what, they won like three games in league play. But that was still a team that took care of business outside of the conference, and like that was a team that I think Florida had to beat at the buzzer. Like, this is a team that finishes dead last in the league, and they were still competent and capable. What I think, you tell me if you buy this. So I think I want to short it, actually. I almost wonder if the SEC was necessary for these other basketball powers, because I think a lot of these schools got caught a little flat-footed. No, an NIL is a part of it, but then they saw when the SEC schools, they've all embraced it, whether it be from football down, like they're ahead of everybody. They weren't like trying to kind of still, well, these are student athletes. Like, they were trying to like kind of like thread the needle. And when everyone saw what the SEC did of putting together the rosters, all these basketball powers just were like, all right, I guess this is about, like, it's kind of like, remember when Coach K refused to have one and dones, and then he kept losing, and all of a sudden he had a change of heart that these young men needed to learn to slap the floor. Like, all of a sudden, he decided he'd seen the light, that he'd figured out the way. He was in the lab trying to concoct all the, how can he perfectly do one and dones, and he didn't want to release it until it was too soon, or until he kept losing in the first round, and all of a sudden he embraces one and dones. I think a lot of these other schools, like Michigan, for instance, like, they weren't, even though, like, I'm sure DeJuan knew how to sit there and go, like, hey, boys, this is how it's done. Let's try it. And no one's really playing ball. Well, it seems like Dusty May's gotten everybody on board. And, God, that team flashes. I mean, absolutely flashes. But now, like, what you've done is the SEC kind of motivated all of them. And then we saw last year at the Final Four when everybody's rushing to get these deals done. It felt like everyone caught up quickly. And so it's not even necessarily that the SEC has gotten significantly worse this year. It's just, I think everybody else kind of caught up, and it's like it spread all the talent out.
No, I agree with that. And I'm still learning the rules for Shoreditch or whatever.
I'm just betting against it. Because the other reason kind of why I want to bet against it is I think it's entirely – it seems at this point it is going to be a certainty that the SEC is going to get more teams in the playoff than any other conference.
For sure.
I still don't think they're winning the championship. And so they're going to have to deal with this, and I think this is going to be kind of the way that it is, where it's like the quality of depth is there, but I'm not sure the SEC can max out like Ohio State can, the SEC teams. I think the two that can are Texas and Texas A&M, the two teams that have historically in the sport done the least with the most.
And you mean, when you say Texas, you mean football when you say Texas.
Correct.
Okay, you back to football for sure. But Ohio State. Basketball, I still think the SEC will have the most teams in it in the Sweet 16. I think Houston and Duke are always going to be like a favorite two for the Final Four, but I still think the SEC will probably have, like Gonzaga doing well this year. Michigan, yep. You know, I expect Michigan to be good at stuff. One, the Big Ten to me has similar, just a little more, little less money than the SEC. So I expect good things from the Big Ten. And Michigan, I mean, when you start spending money, I feel like that's a school that I don't have any proof, but Michigan should have plenty of money, right? Like,
yes. What is their obnoxious tagline? Presidents, men, something. It's like all like Michigan men. It's like they make presidents. They make like leaders.
Yeah, the Michigan.
I mean,
man.
Literally. Well, the Michigan man stems from Bo Schembechler firing the guy that was going to Arizona State, and then Steve Fisher gets the national title because a Michigan man will always coach Michigan. Ironically, he is not a Michigan man. Miami of Ohio man. The thing is, I think these Big Ten schools, because you and I have talked about it, the number of like alumni and just the number of students, and most of them are in wealthier areas. Like, when they decide to cap out, like, they can really spend. I mean, for instance, nobody even knew that Larry Ellison not only had married again, but had married a Michigan alum, and then all of a sudden decided to care about football because she was sick of not watching Michigan with a quarterback. And then Larry Ellison of Oracle, who ping-pongs back and forth between being the richest man in the world and Musk, that's like him, and he just spent $15 million on Bryce Underwood and, like, didn't even blink.
How, now that you said that, because I was reading something the other day, I haven't seen a lot of Michigan games. How did that kid do? Did he play his first year or no? Because I know he was the number one, because they were showing that the kid that just flipped from Georgia to Vandy, this second year it didn't happen.
Correct.
And last year he flipped from somebody to
LSU.
Michigan. And that, it looked like a smart decision. Now,
so he's from Detroit. So it was bad for Michigan that Michigan let him get away. And so here's my thing with Bryce. If you want to nitpick, there's going to be things to nitpick because I think he plays in a completely idiotic offense for someone of his caliber of not only skill set, but just true ability. I mean, God bless you, Sherrone Moore, but if you really do believe the best chance to utilize your five-star quarterback is to tell him to go get under center and put a fullback and a tailback behind him, then we have wildly different ideas of football.
They still do that? Like,
oh, my God,
yes. Georgia Tech or with the three? So he started every game as a freshman, first game.
Yes.
Because I know some of them kids, I know, like, even Archman, some of them kids been sitting because I think – because even then, Deion have a top five kid, and he didn't start most of the year either.
So he's ping-ponging back and forth. Like, Deion started, I think Deion hit the quadfecta.
Did he start all four this year?
So he started Julian Sayin, Caden, the transfer, Salter, the transfer from Liberty. The kid that he referred to as Martin Luther King when he's
Drake. Oh, what's his name?
And then I think they had another kid named Welch. I think he hit four different quarterbacks this year.
So like, dude,
Sayin is the one that was the high recruit.
So if I understand the other position, but a five-star quarterback with only one quarterback and going at a time, do they expect to start as freshman season? Or no, it's not normal, right? For if they go to like a bigger school like SEC or Big Ten.
Situational. So
he got to three this year. It was Salter, Staub, and
Staub
you're thinking
is the
white kid.
Yeah.
It's Julian Lewis.
Julian Lewis, yeah. Julian Sayin's a very different player.
Also very good quarterback.
But Sayin was committed or whatever. Sayin's from California. Lewis was committed to USC and then I think Lewis might be like after his freshman year, I think he might be like on his fifth straight school. He's one of those. Very, very business oriented.
Okay.
I think he's got the entrepreneurial spirit.
Okay.
Not quite certain about the competitive spirit, but he's got the entrepreneurial
business.
Spirit.
Do his best for him. Kind of like some guy that wear purple and gold now.
He was like new Riola. Except his dad wasn't a coach, like also like going around the country, like, hey, both my sons are for sale.
Yeah.
Like, give me a job. I'll coach your offensive line. So there was not that element working for him. But so like it's kind of weird because now what's happening is coaches are under pressure to play these guys. Because if you sign said five-star, it's going to be expensive. And even if you lock him into a multi-year deal, every school knows that if the young man just threatens to sue, there's not much you can do about it because you can't really restrict his ability to go play elsewhere. So there's pressure to get him on the field. So what oftentimes has been happening is, take for instance, Jared Chiave Sangapolatella. Jaron was not only signed to Oregon, I think he showed up. And then Jaron realized real quickly, like, Dante Moore's going to play. I'm not going to play. Where can I go play? Cal's like, you can come play here. And we'll start you as a true freshman. And he goes to Cal. And again, he had some freshman mistakes, but he has wow you talent. But that's kind of what you've been seeing with these big name guys is it's kind of unique that Underwood is at a big boy. But also that big boy got caught without a quarterback, and so they had to do something drastic, and they turned to him. My biggest problem is I absolutely hate the system that they're running him in, and my God, other than Marsh, who's like a really nice slot receiver that they're playing as number one, he is throwing to me and George.
In Michigan?
Yeah. Go get him some receivers.
Pretty much. As for the fullback thing, thinking back to that with the system, look at how bad they looked at Ohio State this weekend.
At home against Ohio State, yeah.
Guess what they didn't have?
They did not have a positive rushing total in the second half.
Well, yeah, they didn't have their fullback.
Yeah, it's true. He got hurt. And they got their tailback hurt. But, like, my thing is...
Still, that's not... It doesn't work for a kid who's got the arm that Underwood
listen,
does.
Listen, I do not want to diminish the name of Cam Newton. But this would be very similar because I do recognize Cam Newton. Like, I don't know if Bryce Underwood's going to – if Bryce could have Cam Newton's career, that's a hell of a thing. So I don't want to act like it. But the example I would give you is it would be like telling Cam, go get under center and let's work on your straight drop back. Mm. Like, let's work on those handoffs. Let's work on those, like those, let's make sure we're carrying out our ball fake. Like, what are you doing?
Well, I would say this, right? I don't want to put nobody under the seat, but I know how Michigan roll. They looking at how good Ohio State doing. That guy, I think he got to leap Penn State for sure. You got to leap Indiana or Oregon. I think he would have to have a really good year next year to stay at Michigan, right? Or
he's at a good spot. For all of the Michigan absurdities, they're fairly patient. Like, Mark's out on him already. Giannotto's already out on him. But, like, all of Giannotto's buddies are like, you got to give him one more year.
Are Giannotto a Michigan fan?
Yes. He is a Michigan man.
Oh, he's a Michigan
even
man.
Even though he's from D.C. He's from D.C., went to Michigan.
Oh, okay.
He was in the stands last week.
Oh, he was?
Now, he was also not under... He had been calling me for, like, multiple weeks, and he's like, this just feels like a year Ohio State's just going to beat us by 3 scores. Mm-hmm. And that was, like, the smallest margin that it could have been.
Yeah, and then when you get to them games, I know it sounds cliche, you got to give up that, no matter who did what. Like, Auburn was on Alabama, but for most of that game.
Yeah, well, it was such a weird game because, as we learned last night, like, truly a new metric, Alabama jumped up 17-0. That was impressive. Apparently, blowing a 17-0 lead is still impressive, as long as you come back and go for it on fourth down.
It's especially impressive against a team whose receivers have bricks for hands.
It is weird to me how they basically played the reverse Oklahoma game.
Literally.
They took the – in the Alabama-Oklahoma game, Alabama in the Alabama-Auburn game took the role of Oklahoma where they got outgained like 2-1, but they just let the other team just lose it and they were fine. Like, it was the same thing. It was like – I think – Auburn finished with 4 turnovers?
Definitely the fumble.
Three fumbles and a pick, maybe, and then another fumble.
That sounds right. Was there like a special teams turnover in that, too? I think there was.
The punt at the – I don't know. Do we count that?
Did they count that?
I don't know.
At the end, yeah. I think yeah. You got it.
I mean, there was, what, 11 seconds. They lost the game when Cam fumbled on the –
There was some fumbles leading up to that, though. Like, people was like, they're going to eventually – They kept doing it all day, but it was regaining the fumbles.
I had one of those Nostradamus moments. I was telling my wife, because she needed Auburn to win, because if Auburn won, that meant Ole Miss would go to the SEC championship game. And she's like, I'm never going to see this, so I want to see this.
God, how messy.
And so I just, was like, man, Auburn is daring Alabama to take the ball away from him. And like 2 seconds later, they finally like actually coughed it up. And it's like... You just know, like, you can see when guys are being too loose with the ball, they're getting away with it. Just bad fundamentals.
Yeah, they're not used to winning. I wrote a list, Jeffrey, and I'm going to talk to you about it one day off air and on air, like, SEC jobs. When I was doing this, when you talk about South Carolina, I was really talking about both programs. And when you mentioned Auburn and how close they stayed, I think Auburn, Arkansas, I don't know how this came in my head, Auburn, Arkansas, I'm missing somebody. Maybe South Carolina and Mississippi State. Them are bad, even though they're in the SEC, them are bad SEC football jobs. Now, Auburn is the one that can get good real quick with the right coach and the right funding. The other three, South Carolina can be cool. Arkansas, I know Kentucky, they got a lot of money.
Although Kentucky's interesting to me. I want to know more. I know, so Will Stein grew up a Kentucky fan. I also know how coaches think. Will Stein, no matter who he grew up rooting for, Kentucky, I think, is going to try to pull an Indiana. Where I'm not saying like, oh, look out, Kentucky national title next year. But I think what upset Kentucky fans at the end with Stoops was making it seem like he was going into a gunfight with a spoon, when Kentucky's going, your roster's expensive.
Mm.
You just did a crappy job.
And man, you just talked about this last week. I brought his name up, and you were saying he was in a messed up spot because he was getting paid so much he couldn't leave. Because at one point, he was a hot – I tell people, when you mess with this sports world, it's real thin line between love and hate, winning and losing, because a guy that other people just wanted to free now gets fired. And now not even on the ring that looked like getting no good job this year, because it's only – well, at some point – when what's-her-name strike out for 82 times, they might have to just say, come on, Stoops, be a Penn State coach for this year or whatever, because they keep – but outside of that, it's not that many good jobs left. All right, come to Memphis. I take Stoops.
I think I'd rather gamble on the guy on the come-up than the come-down. Even though I agree, I think he's a good football coach. To me, Stoops is the type of guy that if I'm a coach that's like, I know next, let's say, maybe they say, I'm not necessarily on the hot seat, but like, I know I got to win. I'm sitting there and calling up Stoops being like, here's $3 million. Will you please come run my defense? And I will get you player. Like, it's not like I'll keep you from getting in the portal and getting guys. It's like, please just come run my defense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Great pedigree of family. I know Memphis is going another direction, but I would look at him, and I don't know if you heard me earlier. If I'm Penn State and Memphis, I y'all get tired of me saying this, I would call up Deion.
I don't think Memphis can get Deion.
Well, this was my argument with that. Take a step down to go back. I like Memphis because – you got to pick that 12th school.
Yeah.
And Memphis is a person that can compete for that every year. I don't think Colorado have that chance. I mean, he took the job. They paid him. But until he gets like if Deion went to Penn State or somewhere with money, I think he has a chance. Colorado, it did what it do, Coach.
I'm with you. I think the question is Deion willing to do that?
What, Memphis or Penn State?
Let's be real. I don't think the Northeast Italians are going to go do the Deion thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That doesn't strike me as what they're looking to do.
Yeah, yeah.
But if Deion called Memphis, I would imagine Ed Scott's taking the phone call. But I don't know
if... You don't think he would do that?
Correct.
So let me ask you this. Why wouldn't the SEC schools pick him over the AAC coaches, though?
I think there was a move in the SEC where people were Deion curious, but everybody's risk averse, and they were like, let's go see if it works somewhere else first. Because keep in mind, Florida State hadn't pulled the trigger either.
I mean, they got a coach, though. They say they're sticking with their coach.
We'll get into that during the list. We learned that is related to LSU's new head coach.
Okay.
Florida State was trying to get into the Kiffin sweepstakes, and then when they found out that they were running a distant fourth, actually a distant fifth, they then announced that Mike Norvell would return.
But that means they don't totally have nothing against him. It's the one thing where, like, I can't get the prettiest girl in the school, but I am okay with the person I've been with.
No. Their move is they got married. It's a Bezos, Mackenzie Bezos. They got married before he made a bunch of money, and now if they get divorced, they have to give her everything.
Yeah, I got you. She would have keep her.
Correct. That's how they're rolling. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk Tiger basketball next with Jason Munns right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Jason!
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Justin Munns is the Tiger basketball beat writer for The Commercial Appeal. Joins us each and every Wednesday here on the program. Munns, what are we listening to?
Pretty Machines by Parquet Courts off the album Content Nausea, which is, I think, what I'm feeling, what I've been feeling for most of this week. Nauseous from content.
Okay, so, yeah, there's been a lot of, like, gross things to read and observe. I want to know this because... your job is to be more plugged in than I am, but I do keep up. Were you caught flat-footed Sunday morning like I was?
No, by the football stuff?
Yeah.
No. I mean, I was caught flat. The first time I was caught flat-footed was the last time. I told myself that then, and it was 2015, and Southern Miss had just. They had just lost to Western Kentucky in the Conference USA Championship, and they went on to lose to Washington when Washington was led by Jake Browning and Miles Gaskin in the Heart of Dallas Bowl. And
is that Southern's last bowl game, by the way?
No. They went the next year. They went to the New Orleans Bowl, won that.
Okay.
They've been to a couple other bowls since then, but. And they're going bowling this year, which I'm sure we'll talk about here
yes.
in a minute. But a couple weeks later, like they'd even made it through signing day. And then Todd Monken, the coach at the time at Southern Miss, had got the offer to be the offensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And it was much like this. It was a Sunday morning, and I was not in a position to race down to the athletic facility, but I did. And when I got there, it was a press conference announcing that he was leaving. So I was caught flat-footed then, and I told myself then that would never happen. But even if I hadn't learned my lesson all those years ago, I know that, you know, different things had happened. Like they'd stumbled to the finish line, Memphis did, and people thought that Ryan's name would, cool off because of that and you know, other different things. And maybe the timing of it was a little bit weird. But then again, at the same time, what's timing? Like, anything is possible and anything can happen these days, especially this year with this coaching carousel.
Okay, so I guess I'll give my point of view because obviously – you nailed it. Your boy did not. I thought the floor was Kane Womack. Like, I knew the goalish thing was very much falling apart. And I think by the end of Saturday night, I was like, goalish is not going to Arkansas. But I thought at that point, Arkansas would turn to Kane. And I knew for a fact, Kane wanted the job.
Mm-hmm.
Where I was mistaken was that Ryan was ahead of Kane. And so I guess that would be what I ask you. When did you learn that Ryan would be ahead of Kane?
I mean, I don't even know that I was thinking about it in those terms. I just what I'm saying when I say I wasn't surprised, I mean, I'm just saying I wasn't surprised that Ryan's coached his last game at Memphis after the Navy game was his last game as the Memphis head coach. Like, I thought for sure, especially when, you know, Eric Morris had already moved and, you know, then the Lane stuff is also swirling and starting to happen. And then Golish too, like, you know, these dominoes are starting to fall. And I was just like, whether it's Arkansas or whatever it's going to be, I had already made up my mind that he wasn't staying here one way or the other. And so wherever he was going to go, it was probably going to happen soon just because of the way the dominoes were starting to fall and those sorts of things. There was too much trending in that direction for it not to happen.
Where else do you think he was in play? Because I think Arkansas fans, and I think they're probably under the idea, it's like the only place he got hired was here, and that's not making them feel great.
Yeah, no, so that's a good question. I mean, I had kind of talked myself into the possibility of, well, all these jobs are open. What happens if somebody calls Eli Drinkwitz? What happens if Eli Drinkwitz winds up on LSU's wish list, you know? And obviously that you know, ship sailed the moment, I guess, Lane or Timmy Sexton, started fielding calls and taking meetings.
To me, the moment John Sumrall pivoted to Florida, that's when I was like, okay, I knew Lane was gone before then, but like that was when it was like, okay, you started to see the other pieces moving.
Yeah. I know that, I think there had been some rumblings that maybe like if I'm blanking on the name, Vanderbilt's coach.
Clark Lee,
like if he had not re-upped with Vanderbilt, maybe that comes open. Maybe Clark Lee goes somewhere. Maybe Clark Lee goes to Florida, something like that.
Penn State. I think Penn State
right.
Definitely like made a push.
Yeah. So then that leaves that job open. Maybe Vanderbilt comes calling for Eli Drinkwitz. That leaves Missouri open, and who Missouri's athletic director is, Laird Veach, who was here. Like that could be a like that to me. If that was open this cycle, and you know everything, it didn't create some other sort of crazy chaos, then I thought that was a spot for Ryan, like that Ryan could land there. So anyway, I mean, you know, it's I don't know how much stock I put into this, but like there were even whispers with Ryan at UCLA that I had heard. So I don't think it was always Arkansas or bust. It just kind of turned out that way.
Giannotto and I were talking about this. Is it fair to say Ryan's best ability is getting jobs?
No, he's a pretty good recruiter.
I think maybe that's at the same skill set.
Yeah, definitely. They're definitely, you know, sister cousins there. But yeah.
Selling a vision, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yes, exactly. Selling himself or selling someone else on him or on his product, his brand. If we're willing to marry those two, then yes, I would say that is definitely his best. Although, you know what? Like, he does know how to coach up some running backs.
O-line. I think it is fair to say he is a very good offensive line coach, like run game scheme guy. Yeah.
Oh yeah, 100%. Like I think he's extremely good at run game coordination. And I mean, like, you know, you go way back, because again, he was an assistant here doing that before he became the head coach, and so he's got a very demonstrated track record of sort of, you know, elite level run game stuff. So I would say that that's probably a second to in the pecking order to his ability to get jobs and to get people.
How How much urgency do you think there is for Memphis to make this hire? Because, like, we're already at signing day, so, like, I got to think that, like, there's almost, like, a make sure you get it right more than, like, make sure we get it done. Like, does that make sense?
Yes, although I think they're both neck and neck, making sure they get it right and making sure it gets done. Because, like, so first of all, I would be shocked. I will be floored if there is not some finality, some you know, relative to the finish line, like getting very close to the finish line, if not over it, by like Saturday morning. I would be floored. So I said this from the beginning. I think Memphis is very, very motivated to get this done quickly. And this goes back to something that my colleague at the Commercial Appeal, Jonah Dillon, wrote in the very early stages of this. And like he and I talked about it before he wrote it, and we both agreed that this is probably, you know, you asked about getting it right. Like, I think this is probably the most important hire, most important coaching hire in school history, just because of, obviously, like, Memphis is, whether you believe this or not, I do, and I think so, but I think Memphis is as close to where they want to be as they've probably ever been, and you cannot afford to backslide. Memphis cannot afford to backslide, and so that is that, you know, and the getting the right football coach who can maintain, or not maintain, who can push the program forward. Like, you know, for all of Ryan's faults, you know, no conference championship appearances as a head coach, record against power programs, you know, winning, like record against teams with winning records and those sorts of things. Like, all that aside, he has sort of maintained a certain standard throughout the course of his tenure. And the next person, it's imperative that they push that forward, that they, you know, sort of get it, that they get it back to, not only get it back to where Mike Norvell and Justin Fuente were headed before they left, or were before they left, but even like get it to there and even beyond that, because, you know, we're not that far away from what everybody kind of feels like is the next round of conference realignment. And again, going back not that long ago to the offer that Memphis made to the Big 12, I still think that those wheels are moving, that those wheels are in motion. And so, you know, this hire, getting the right person and building on what is already in place with the football program, is just as important as, or as important, or if probably more important than any other hire in the coaching hire in the history of the program, in the history of the school.
No, I think it's 100% fair to say it. I think there's also, though, I think because you didn't blow it out of the water on the last hire, it makes this hire more significant. Because I think there's I don't know what's fair to Ryan, because I think it's undoubtedly true the Memphis football brand hasn't been wrecked, but it is not as good as it was when he took over. With that being said, I also don't know if it's fair to sit there and go, the peak of the program, like you had a career year, like in the history of the program, it's like a special season. Like, is that the new standard, or is that a peak? Like, so that's kind of where I struggle with it. It's like, I don't know how to quantify it, but it's like, I think he let the brand slip more than he had to. Like, I wasn't sitting there going like, this team should be competing for, you know, a playoff spot or a G6 bowl or whatever, New Year's Six bowl. every single year, but it's like he should have at least gotten to a conference championship game, especially when you consider the Memphis job's place in the league. But then the other thing that got me thinking as you were talking there, how much pressure do you think South Florida applied today to Memphis? Because honestly, when I heard Brian Hartline just got hired at USF, and then again, there might be some show your work, but USF has reports that they're going to be the first G6 to fully fund rev share, and the university's applied to be a member of the AAU, not the grassroots programs, but the, you know, the hoity-toity universities that all the Big Ten wants their members to be in. They're making significant progress on their own stadium. Like, I don't know. Like, I felt like today USF made a pretty big statement.
For sure. I could not agree more. Like, this definitely puts that and many other things, but certainly that puts pressure on Memphis to get this right and to keep up. I mean, like, you know, certainly, look, South Florida is going to finish ahead of Memphis in the standings. I mean, South Florida is not going to the conference championship either, when arguably they probably were one of the two most talented teams in the conference this year. And they're not going to the conference championship either. But yeah, like I thought the same thing when I saw the Hartline hire, I was like, oh, there's a message in there, you know, like whether they're trying to send a message directly to Memphis or not.
Right. I guess I would agree with you on that. I don't necessarily think like USF was like target acquired Memphis, here you go. But like, I took that as like a, hey, Memphis, they're not sitting down.
They're not taking a step back. They're just as, yeah, like they're out here to make some bold moves. And that's, again, like, that was my reaction when I saw that. I was like, wow, okay. You know, your move, Memphis, sort of thing. So, it's really, really kind of an inflection point time. I mean, the other part of the equation is that Ed Scott has been the athletic director at Memphis now for a year and a half, and this will be his first head coach hire for a major sport. He's hired the head coaches for volleyball and softball. That's it. This will be his chance to put a stamp on the face of the athletic department, the program that is, you know, obviously the most forward-facing face. You know, it's again, basketball is basketball is king locally, but football is what drives the bus nationally and certainly from a conference realignment standpoint. And so this is Ed's opportunity to like show what he can do. And listen, I mean, I think it's a very big opportunity for Memphis, and it will be fascinating to see what they do with it because of everything that we've already talked about.
I think another interesting thing that I've noticed this cycle, I have come to the conclusion, names that I think a lot of, I've noticed that fan bases don't share that. I'm not saying like, oh, I'm smarter than everyone. There's been a couple that I've been surprised by. Like, I thought Alex Golish was a very good candidate, but I've seen multiple schools that I thought should have felt lucky to get Alex Golish, and they're like, eh, whatever. Florida's doing this whole deal with, all right, we just hired another G5 coach from Louisiana. All right, Sunbelt Billy 2.0. It's like, if you think John Summerall and Sunbelt Billy are the same thing, I got news for you. I'm not saying that he's going to move over Spurrier like he's the new king in town, but one thing I've thought is interesting is that some of the names that would be good names for Memphis, like the fan base, it wouldn't get excited about, to which my big question is, who are the names the fan base would actually get excited about? Like that they could realistically hire. Like, I'm not even saying guys that Ed Scott would hire. Who do you think are like when the press conference hires, if you will?
Yeah, that's a really, I mean, that's an interesting exercise. You know, I mean, like in the first, what, few hours of the news dropping, I mean, there was a lot of there seemed to be a lot of mentions of Dan Mullen. And obviously, you know, that's not highly unlikely that is going to happen. But like, obviously, you know, I feel like based on the buzz that his name was generating, I feel like that would have done the trick. Like that would have gotten people excited. I don't know if so, you know, obviously Prime has, you know, he's a phenomenon unto himself, but like he has sort of popularized the former NFL star move, this sort of, I mean, it's not a movement yet, I wouldn't say, even though Brian Hartline falls into that category. He wasn't obviously a superstar. But like, you know, certainly he is a name that people recognize. I had him on my fantasy team once or twice. But like all that,
he was definitely the king of the, God, I got three receivers hurt. Like, all right, I'm going, Hartline was just like the ultimate waiver wire pickup in like week 11.
Yeah, and a PPR all-star. Yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.